told you very much over the course of Yom Tov. And I'm pleased that you've joined us on Zoom and on Facebook Live. And we're going to take this opportunity now to share a few words of Torah, a few words of inspiration. And I'm going to begin by sharing with you the content of tomorrow's Hayom Yom, the Hayom Yom for the 23rd day of Nisan Issuchar. The Rebbe says, the Rebbe writes the following, on Achron Shel Pesach, the light of Mashiach shines openly. That was today. As per the Hayom Yom of the 22nd day of Nisan, on the last day of Pesach, all of the energy, all of the spirituality, all of the profound holiness of the entire holiday of Pesach comes to a head and reaches its climax. And as our sages and our rabbis and our inspired Torah leadership has told us, that the beginning of Pesach focuses on and celebrates the exodus, the leaving of Mitzrayim. Can you please get rid of the noise? And the end of Pesach focuses on the redemption, on the coming of Mashiach. So on the last day of Pesach, the light or energy of Mashiach shines openly. And that's the idea of Sudas Mashiach, where the Baal Shem Tov introduced this notion that in order to internalize, in order to ingest, quite literally, the energy that represents the Eidah Shel Mashiach, the radiance of Mashiach, we eat Sudas Mashiach. And this is relevant and it's accessible for every member of Am Yisrael. The Rebbe now states the following. Pesach is medalik. Pesach represents skipping. So rather than orderly progress, Pesach represents the idea of being able to leap forward. Typically, you can't get to the fifth or sixth floor without first going through the first, second, third, and fourth. You can't go to fifth grade if you didn't first graduate the first four grades. And so it is also in our spiritual growth that there is a measured and very, very carefully choreographed order in which we progress in our Yiddishkeit. But Pesach is a different, it's an exception. Pesach represents medalig, represents skipping forward. And the first night of Pesach is called Leil Shemurim, the protected night. So things can't go wrong. In general, the mood of Pesach is one of liberty. And then Pesach ends. And we fall into the mundane world. And this, says the Rebbe, this then is where the revelation of Mashiach's light comes into play. That with this, with the energy of the conclusion of Pesach, we take the staunch resolution and resoluteness that will enable us to re-enter the mundane world. On Pesach 1974, there was a very prominent rabbi living somewhere in the New York metropolitan area who had finished the evening services in shul, and then he met the non-Jew and he brought back the chametz, went home in Havdalah, he got into his car and he drove to Brooklyn to participate in the Seudas Mashiach in the Fabrengen that the Rebbe would lead on Matzoi Yom Tov, into Matzoi Yom Tov. The Pesach Fabrengen, as a rule, would usually last about 6 hours. It would start about 6 o'clock in the evening, if my memory doesn't fail me, and oftentimes it would go till 11, 11:30, or even after midnight. So this individual shows up, I don't know when it was, 10:30, after he had done all the things that he wanted to do, that he needed to do, and he sits down at the Fabrengen. Now for the Rebbe, it's still Pesach. The Rebbe is still Fabrengen, and they're still eating matzah, and they're drinking wine. And in between the talks, this rabbi approaches the Rebbe, and he says to the Rebbe that he wants to seek his counsel, advice about a certain issue, and he mentions the details of a political situation. So the Rebbe said to him, it's the middle of Sudas Mashiach now. We're living in a higher realm. And the rabbi says, but the Rebbe himself spoke about this issue. The Rebbe himself was discussing this in a public way. The Rebbe said that what's spoken about from this chair is medaberet be'elyonim v'romezet betachtonim. The Rebbe said he speaks about things on a very lofty level. It also has meaning in the material, ordinary, everyday world. But the Rebbe said now is Sudas Mashiach, now is still Pesach, and he wouldn't discuss the way things are reflected in the ordinary world. But still Pesach. Well, Pesach has ended for us. I have to buy back the chametz. I got responsibilities. Made Avdola now. So Pesach Tavshin Pei has passed. Passed over us. And by eating the Seudas Mashiach and saying L'chaim and drinking the wine, we hopefully have ingested the power and the energy and the profundity of the holiday in general, especially of the last day of Pesach. And the thing is this, the challenge that is now upon us in this very strange and challenging time is to live with Pesach energy on the days that are going to come our way, on the immediate future, and then on what follows that. And before I address that, I want to share with you, during these Zoom and Facebook Live things on Matzah Shabbos, and maybe now it's also Matzah Yom Tov, I shared with you a few stories. So I became aware of three very interesting stories that are connected to healing and Mashiach Suda, the Fabrengen that the Rebbe conducted on the last day of Pesach, and I want to share them with you. Hopefully they'll be inspirational for you. It's near the end of Seudas Mashiach in the year 1968. A well-known and colorful chassid, whose name is Reb Shmuel Isaac HaLevi Popak, approaches the Rebbe and he says, my father is very ill in the hospital. And tomorrow he's scheduled for immediate surgery, for emergency surgery. And he asks the Rebbe a bracha for refuah shleima. The Rebbe looks at him and he gives him two pieces of matzah. And he says to Reb Shmuel Isaac, make sure that your father eats the matzah tonight. The next day the doctors came to do a pre-op and they were baffled. And they told the family they don't know what's happened, but somehow whatever the issue was, it has dissipated and it's no longer a concern. That's one story. Another story takes place exactly 2 years later. It's Pesach, 1968. And in the midst of the Fabrengen, the Rebbe begins to emphasize the importance of everybody present participating in the drinking of four cups of wine that we traditionally do at Mashiach Suda. The Rebbe is looking around the room. And suddenly, the Rebbe points to a boy at the end of the table. And the Rebbe said, did he drink four cups of wine yet? And he hadn't. And the Rebbe said he should drink four cups of wine. The Rebbe pointed to him. They should drink four cups of wine. So the people around him found a small cup and they helped him out. And the kid managed to knock back the four cups of wine. It wasn't strong wine, but, you know, for a kid, it wasn't a... 7 weeks later, 6 weeks later, on Shavuos, this little boy, whose name was Avraham Moshe Deitch, his father was a very young man, wasn't yet 50, had a very severe heart attack on Shavuos. After the father was rushed to the hospital, the boys, the Deitch boys, headed to 770 to ask the Rebbe for a bracha. At the time, the Rebbe was upstairs in the apartment of the previous Rebbe, and there was a Yom Tov meal. And they approached the Rebbe, and they told the Rebbe that our father, Shalom Yishaya Deitch, had a heart attack. It's a critical situation. And they asked the Rebbe for a bracha. The Rebbe gave them a piece of challah from the table and said, give this to your father. And the Rebbe blessed him with a refuah shleima. Yud Beis Tammuz, which is well over a month later, Reb Shalom Yishaya himself approached the Rebbe at the Fabringen, and he said to the Rebbe, I have become fully healed. And I want to say L'chaim to the Rebbe. The Rebbe said in a very loud voice, you didn't become healed today. You became healed when your son drank 4 cups of wine at Mashiach Suda. And now a third story of a Mashiach Suda and the message of healing. The year is 1973. At the Rebbe, there was not a practice of sharing his food. At many of the Polish Hasidim, the Hungarian Hasidim, it's customary that the Rebbe eats a little bit and people eat from his food. It was never a practice in the courts of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Rebbe didn't, there was no shirayim by the Rebbe. The Rebbe gave everybody a little bit of wine. Amatzoy Yom Tov, wished them l'chaim v'levracha. But there was no business of necessarily eating from the Rebbe's food. Very unusually, the Rebbe takes packages of matzah on this year, towards the end of the Fabregen, still wrapped in paper as they used to be, 1 pound, small packages of matzah, and the Rebbe throws the package into the crowd. Now, there are two names, two essential names for matzah, which are found in the esoteric writings and tradition, the doctrines of Kabbalah for matzah. One is Michla de Mehemenusa, one is bread of faith, and the other is Michla das Vasa, which means bread of healing. And as the Rebbe threw the package out, the Rebbe said, Michla das Vasa, it's bread of healing. Then the Rebbe threw another package out, and the Rebbe said, Michla de Mehemenusa, and this went on, bread of faith. This went on for a while. The Rebbe tossed a number of packages of matzah out for the crowd, and each time he said either bread of healing or bread of faith. And it was noted that each of the people who caught one of these packages of matzah and later distributed it, depending on who they were, if it was somebody that the Rebbe said Michla das Vasa, there was either illness for that individual or somebody in the family. And if it was somebody who caught the package when the Rebbe said Michla de Mehemenusa, bread of faith, it was somebody who needed the strengthening in the Yiddishkeit, the strengthening in their faith. As the way I heard the story, there was even some people who caught the matzah who had never been in a Fabrengen before. And somehow, everybody got the matzah they needed. So these are three stories of healing. These really are three stories which speak about the influence, the long shadow, and the continuously radiating light and energy of Pesach in the days, in the weeks, and even in the months that follow. And the challenge that is now put to us is to take this very unusual Pesach that we celebrated and observed and shared together with our loved ones in a very private setting and find a way to energize the upcoming days. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Babetronya. God does not make impossible demands of us. And if He's put us in this very unusual situation, there's a purpose, there's meaning, there's a mission that we have. I can't claim to know what everybody's mission and purpose is. I can say to you that broadly speaking, our mission is to live the way Hashem wants us to live. I'm sure that for people who are living in close quarters, living in peace, is more of a challenge than it's been in a long time. Live in peace. Make it work. Don't sweat the small stuff. If the kids scream a little, zolzaim. If you get on each other's nerves, go for a walk in the backyard. Don't fight. Fighting and anger, resentment is a terrible thing. It's toxic. It harms us, it harms others. It's not what Hashem wants. And as the Talmud Yerushalmi says, that if a person makes peace in his own home, it's as if he made peace in the whole world. So we have to think microcosmically, but also in a global way. We have to realize that living at peace with the ones we love, which means that we have to also learn how to like them, not just love them. And we have to figure out a way to be at peace. To figure out a way not to get into arguments, not step on each other's toes. And to live together, ba'ava, be'achva, the sense of love, a sense of brotherhood, a sense of closeness. And I think that Pesach is an empowering time. I think with the message of Pesach, we're able to go forward with that. And with a more broad or perhaps what you would call external focus. We live in very strange times, but we also have extraordinary opportunities. Between the phone, the smartphone, which can be used in a smart way. You have social media, you have texting and WhatsApp, you have the good old-fashioned telephone. Reach out to others. Share messages of positivity. Share messages of care, of concern. Sometimes calling somebody or sending somebody a little message can brighten somebody's day. And who knows? When you make somebody else happier, they'll pass it on. And we should think about this. We should think about both of these things, I think, on a daily basis. Living in peace in our own quarters, and thinking about what we can do for somebody else. Maybe to somebody who needs groceries picked up. Maybe to somebody who's struggling with a particular challenge. And despite the social distancing that must remain, there's much that can be done to aid and to assist others. And as it says in HaYom Yom, Alter Rebbe's Chassidim used to say, Hob holt ha-yidin, that the Eibishter dir holt ha-yidin. Love another Yid, Eibishter will love you. Tu ha-teve noch ha-yidin, do a favor for another Yid, the Eibishter v'dir ha-teve ta. Hashem will do you a favor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should hear good news. We should share good news. I will continue to rack my brains and see whatever I can do to try to engage all of you and try to share words of Torah and inspiration. And our continued hope and prayer is that we will meet in person without any social distancing in the third Beis HaMikdash with the coming of Mashiach b'mheira will be a main one.